This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Every once in a while, there comes a major plot twist in the story of Boston theater. Now, lo, enter stage left, a muse in the shape of Diane Paulus, artistic director of the American Repertory Theater in Cambridge. And with her enters, too, a chorus of energy and innovation. A Midsummer Night's Dream staged in a disco in the Donkey Show. Sleep No More, where theatergoers physically entered an abandoned Brookline school and into the world of the dreaded Scottish play Macbeth. And what might Diane Paulus foreshadow is in the next act for Boston Theater? Baseball, of course! Specifically, Johnny Baseball, a new musical about the Red Sox that's currently running at the ART. Diane Paulus has been the ART's artistic director for the past year, and I spoke to her a little earlier. Let me just start by asking you about Johnny Baseball. What's it about, and why a play about baseball now?
Why not a play about baseball? Actually, it's a musical, which makes it even more exciting. This is a show that is having its world premiere here in Boston, which is a pretty big deal. And it tells the story about the curse. And the writers of the show have sort of created a blend of fact and fiction, musing on the reasons for the curse. So the actual musical is framed in the 2004 game. Game four, wow. When David Ortiz hits that home run and the Red Sox turn it around. So you have this emotional rush of remembering the magic of that night. And then you go back in memory in this beautiful theatrical device to kind of find out stories that were untold about the very serious issue of integration of African Americans into baseball.
And the Red Sox particularly fraught history with that.
Exactly. And this is part of, you know, American history. And, you know, happily, we have now moved to a time in our lives where things have changed. And certainly the current ownership of the Red Sox have done a fantastic job since 2002 integrating that team. But, you know, as a maker of theater, I think one of the roles of theater in our society and culture is to remember our stories, to find a clever and fun and entertaining and also educational way to bring these stories to light and talk about our past.
You know, I'm thinking about the way Red Sox fans talk about the team, talk about the game. It's not just the physical prowess. It's the human drama that they go to the park all the time.
It's the Greek tragedy.
Yes. Exactly. Over nine-plus innings.
The first lyric of the song, you know, it's the fourth inning in that game, and the first lyric is, "Why does God hate us?" You know, so it's a wonderful, for me, merger of theater and sports. And I think coming to the ART, you know, people have said, oh, you know, this is a sports town, you know, it's become a sports town, and what about the arts? And I always feel like, can't we bridge the worlds? I'm always looking at, why does theater have to be over here in the little art silo? You know, I'm just always interested in when art can get outside of its confined box.
So in bridging those worlds, have you seen people come to the ART with to see Johnny Baseball wearing, I don't know, Dice K and Applebaum t-shirts?
Yes. It was incredible to see the audience that came to the theater for the first time. You know, theater goers, subscribers, kind of our loyal patrons, and then a whole new sector of audience. People coming out, everybody sporting their Red Sox coats and their Red Sox socks and their hats and their paraphernalia. And then, you know, we've really made an attempt, because I'm also a great believer that the theater experience is not just the play on the stage. It's the whole ritual of going to the theater. So we have our, like, hot dog guy in our patio garden, and we have tables, and you can take your beer in the theater. And, you know, what tickled me more than anything, you know, I think the sports fan were like, oh, this is cool. But the theater people were like, oh, my gosh, we've never seen anything like this. I can take my beer in the theater, really?
So is that sort of Diane Paulus's theory on theater these days, to sort of surprise, delight, and maybe even make classical theater goers a little uncomfortable?
My interest is taking the mission of the ART and really exercising it. And the mission of the ART is to expand the boundaries of theater. So I've been interested in making the arts experience a broader event. And in the case of Johnny Baseball, it's tapping truly into the fun and passion and love of something that's so near and dear to this town, baseball and the Red Sox, and then bringing a show to life that has heart and emotion and a love story. I mean, this is not just for baseball fans.
While you were being considered for the job, I understand that you kind of went on a New England listening tour to get a sense as to what the theater scene was like here.
Right.
What did you hear from people? What did you learn?
I learned that people tend to think of theater, and I think, you know, they were thinking of the ART as, you know, a cultural establishment, you know, a place you went kind of to go to see theater because it was good for you, you know. It was like you take it like you take vitamins, you know. It's like that nourishment of culture, and that it wasn't always fun or it wasn't always something that you wanted to do. And I'm such an advocate, and I'm just committed to creating art. I mean, really creating art that people want to be in the presence of.
Well, let's talk about some of those productions in particular. And the first one is Sleep No More. So that's a little sound from Sleep No More. It was your second production in the Shakespeare Explodes series, and it was just a truly novel interpretation of Macbeth, except this one was staged at an abandoned Brookline school.
Yes, exactly.
And theatergoers came, and they wore masks, and they actually followed the actors around from location to location in the school. Where did that idea come from?
Well, I had gotten to know about a group called Punch Drunk in London when I was directing an opera there several years ago. And I was tracking their work, and I knew they were onto something when I was in London, and, you know, the highfalutin opera people were talking about Punch Drunk, and then my theater friends were talking about Punch Drunk, and then, like, the guy in the Tesco, who's, like, the local supermarket chain, they were talking about. And what they do is they take over abandoned buildings, and then they pick a play, a classic play, whether it's Goethe's Faust or Macbeth, and they create the entire world of the play in an environment. So with Macbeth, you're entering 44 different rooms that, like, bring to life the world of Macbeth. And it's really about giving the audience a kind of freedom to create their own narrative.
Some people came as many as 10 times.
Absolutely.
They're the ones who prevented me from getting as many tickets as I'd like.
I know. You couldn't have a ticket. And, you know, the thing I loved was people would get fanatic and, like, you know, you'd see Macbeth coming down the hall and you'd run to keep up after Macbeth. And I just loved that. I mean, when... have you ever been in a theatrical experience when you're chasing a character down a hallway because you're so determined to find out what Macbeth is going to do, you know, after he murders Duncan, you know, and only you will know if you can keep up with him as he's tearing down two flights of stairs.
Having people be physically part of the world that's created by a play, it's something that you seem to be particularly passionate about. What is it that allows you to do that conventional theater experience doesn't, just, you know, sitting in the chair and watching the actors play on stage?
You know, I do want to make really clear that I feel like there's a lot of possibilities of theater. And, you know, there can be an incredible theater experience where you just sit in a chair and watch a play. You know, I really believe that exists. But this is about saying to an audience, you are critical to this event. And to me, that's the theater. Because theater is the medium. Without an audience, it doesn't exist. Something like Sleep No More or The Donkey Show are shows where the audience completes the event, and it just pushes the audience role in the theatrical event to the forefront.
You know, it suddenly reminds me that this actually brings maybe the theater experience a step closer to what it was in Shakespeare's time. I mean,
thank you for saying
when
that.
If you went to the Globe Theater in the 16th century, you were right there up pressed against the stage, truly interacting, maybe jeering, maybe cheering the actors.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you know, as much as I do crazy things like put, you know, take Shakespeare plays and reset them in discos, I'm a complete Shakespeare fanatic. I'm obsessed with Elizabethan England and the Globe Theater. And exactly what you said has been my inspiration. What was it like to experience Shakespeare back in Elizabethan England? You were a groundling. You were in the mosh pit. You were standing. You were eating. You were drinking. You were talking to the actors. You were transacting business. You know, you were there kind of discovering language and hearing things and, you know, calling out to the performers. And to me, when we think of Shakespeare, we don't think of Shakespeare that way. We think of, frankly, the Penguin pocketbook classic that you get at the library. And that is really not what Shakespeare is. Yes, we have this glorious text, but Shakespeare was a producer. He was an impresario. He made plays that were alive in the globe, which, you know, that word was, it was a microcosm of the world.
So you've used the words mosh pit and rubbing shoulder to shoulder. It seems like then that that's the direct inspiration for how you decided to stage The Donkey Show, which was your reinterpretation of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Well, Midsummer Night's Dream is one of my favorite plays. And with Randy Weiner, who conceived of the show, we thought, what is that world? How do you make Midsummer Night's Dream alive today? And again, it wasn't about taking the play and doing the play. There's not a word of the text, actually. There's not a word of the Shakespearean text in either The Donkey Show or Sleep No More. Sleep No More is done completely without Shakespearean language. It's just all the visual stimulus and all the kind of world of the rooms and the environment. In The Donkey Show, it's entirely disco songs. So you're in a 1970s disco, and the metaphor of the enchanted woods in the Shakespeare play is now transposed to the sort of fantasy hedonism of 1970s disco, in particular Studio 54. And Studio 54 was a place where you went to escape, to be someone else you weren't, to pursue dreams and love that wasn't allowed, you know, during your kind of daytime life. And, you know, it was also a world of intoxication. And, you know, we know in Midsummer Night's Dream, these lovers are drugged by the magic flower and falling in love with the wrong person and crazy things like a woman falling in love with a donkey.
Do you ever worry that, say, in the example of Sleep No More, which is inspired by Macbeth, and The Donkey Show, inspired by Midsummer Night's Dream, when you're not using any of the original Shakespearean text at all, do you ever worry that there's a chance that people might see that as dishonoring the original spirit and intent of the play that Shakespeare wrote?
You know, there was a patron who came to me in the lobby, and she had seen all three of the Shakespeare Exploded, and she said, you know, I loved them all, but, you know, are they Shakespeare? She said to me. And I said, you know, we've never said that The Donkey Show and Sleep No More are Shakespeare. We've said these are theatrical events that were inspired by these plays.
Diane Paulus is one of those Boston minds we could not get enough of. We'll bring you part two of my conversation with her tomorrow, where you'll hear her response to the charge from some theater lovers that donkeys, discos, and Fenway Franks at the theater is nice and everything, but it's not stagecraft and it's not art. That's tomorrow.